James, we're back at we're down at verse 19 in chapter number 1. We're going to be spending some more time here in this verse. James chapter number 1, verse 19, and it says this: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can look into your word this morning. We're thankful that even though we cannot physically be all together at local assembly, yet with modern technology now, we can join together using computers and the internet and our laptops and our phones, and to seek to be an encouragement to one another, to be a part of each other's lives, and to remind ourselves how much it is that we need to depend on you and your word in whatever kind of circumstances and life's experiences that we are going through. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we pray that as we spend this time this morning in your word, that we indeed might be strengthened with might by your spirit in our inner man. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Now, if you are just joining us in our study of the book of James, we have already been going verse by verse in the book of James here for quite a few weeks already. So there's a lot of really important background that you want to make sure that you have in your soul and in your understanding before you ever get to where this point where we are in the book of James. I'm not going to go back and review all that. All those messages are available on our website at helpersofyourjoy.com. And I would very much encourage you to go back and listen to those lessons if you have not done so. Several things to make sure that you keep in mind. James indicates in the very first verse who he's writing to. He's writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He's not writing to the church, the body of Christ. He's not writing specifically to you and me living in the dispensation of grace. The book of James was written very early, probably right around Acts chapter 2, 3, along in there, historically. When you're in Acts chapter 2 and 3, you're still in the prophetic kingdom program, and according to Peter there in Acts chapter number 2, they truly had entered the last days. Hebrews is written around the same time. When you're reading the book of James, remember, James is preparing his audience. He's equipping his audience to go through that tribulation period, reminding them that the wisdom that they're going to need to get through that tribulation period is found in God's Word. And we've said that again and again and again and again and again, that he's telling his audience to go back and read God's Word. The wisdom that they're going to need to get through that tribulation period is in the written Word of God. I mentioned last time that the more I'm studying through James, and if you are reading through the zone with us as a ministry right now, you read through the whole Bible in 1 year by reading about 3 or 4 chapters a day. But if you're reading through the zone with us right now, you basically just got through the book of Proverbs, and you'll finish the book of Ecclesiastes today. And it's just incredible to me how many different ways James, in the book of James, really is referring back to the book of Proverbs. Now, look back at with me, if you would, there at verse 19. Notice the phrases that he used. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." And we spent the whole message last week looking at that phrase and making the connection with the book of Proverbs, swift to hear. And what we saw, I'm just going to do this real quickly, what we saw is if you look at that word hear, you see the word ear. You see the word hear. How about in the word heart? How about hearing? How about heareth? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They need to be swift to hear. Let me just do this here. Let me erase that. They need to be swift to hear. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, look at these two verses. Go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew 11. Go back to Matthew 11 here. Put a marker in James 1. We're going to come back. Go back to Matthew 11. Look back at Matthew chapter number 11. And verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ says this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at chapter 13. Look over to chapter number 13 at verse 9. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, this connection is all the way through Scripture. We saw how the Word of God makes it very, very clear that God is the one who created the hearing ear. And I mentioned this concept last time. I'm going to say it again now because today we're going to talk more about the tongue and speaking. We all live now in this modern society where we have all these devices that communicate with each other, what they call wireless communication. I'm holding my cell phone right now. There's no physical wire that's connecting this phone to the internet that's in this house that we're in right now, and so forth. There's no physical wire connecting me to you. So we all understand the concept of wireless communication. Listen, Bill Gates, or who's now the head guy at Microsoft? It's not used to be Jobs, but who's over there now? Whoever that is. All your engineers, like at Microsoft and Apple, all your engineers and designers, these guys that came up with the idea of wireless communication. By the way, it's really not that new. Radio waves been around for years and years and years. And they're wireless. When you think about it, they're just radio signals. Understand this. Wireless communication is nothing new. God is the originator of wireless communication. What am I talking about? Right now, out of my heart, and in connection with my mind, I'm formulating words and sentences and thoughts. They're coming out of my mouth, and they're getting to your ear, and then into your mind and your heart. So we've got at least two forms of wireless communication that God, as the creator of mankind, created. He created the hearing ear and the speaking mouth. And He created both of those things, among many other reasons, for the purpose of hearing His Word and communicating His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the eye, He creates the eye also to see. That's also a wireless form of communication. He creates the eye. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart. Those three gates, the eye, the ear, and then the heart. Those three gates by which God's wisdom is to get into a human being. And James here, when he tells his audience to be, when he says, be swift to hear. He doesn't mean just be swift to hear anything without discernment, but swift to hear what God says. The hearing ears hear what God says. It enters the heart. We also saw last time that there are many words, a number of words that have the ear in the words. We saw the word fear. Let me just fix that there. Fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Word of God also says. Someone at the end of the message last week, they actually texted me and added another one. You look at the word learn. There it is. The word learn. I mean, he can just do this again and again and again. The connection with the hearing ear. When James says there, wherefore, verse back at James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, I'm going to erase all this because today we're going to look at the next phrase. Not just swift to hear. He says there in James chapter number 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Then he says, slow to speak. The title to the message today is The Tongue of the Wise. The Tongue of the Wise. And you'll see in a moment why we're talking about that. Now ask the question. When that verse says, verse 19, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Well, what's that about? I mean, think about it. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ send the 12 apostles out to preach the gospel of the kingdom to Israel, and then eventually they were going to take it out to the Gentiles? Now, of course, that has not happened yet. It will happen in the millennial reign of Christ. But if they're supposed to go speak, they're supposed to take the gospel of the kingdom out, what's this thing about being slow to speak? What's that have to do with anything? And in particular, our context. And notice the next thing he says here, slow to speak, he says, slow to wrath. The fact that he links the slow to speak, slow to wrath, and then the next verse says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, clearly indicates that when he says slow to speak, slow to wrath, that those who would be quick to speak are quick to wrath, quick to judgment, as it were, and they're not speaking on behalf of the righteousness of God. So what you're seeing in the verse, those who are going to be swift to hear, that's the little flock, that's the remnant. Those that will have ears to hear and will take in the Word of God. But those that are not slow to speak, so they're responding quickly, fastly, and so forth, and negatively, based upon when he says, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's the apostate nation that won't hear the Word of God. And what they are doing, when it says at verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, that's the unbelieving apostate nation that won't hear the Word of God. So as we talk today, especially about this thing, this slow to speak, slow to speak. What's in that? I want you to notice something else. When he says, be swift to hear, go back to, I meant to look at this last time and I completely overlooked it, but go back to the book of Hebrews. Go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 now. I meant to look at this last time with this issue about being swift to hear, swift to hear. What's the contrast? Look at Hebrews 5. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 5:11 says this, of whom we, that would be the writer of the Hebrews, he says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be understood, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Israel had become dull of hearing. They had closed their ears and closed up their heart. They'd become dull of hearing. The book of Hebrews is designed for the idea of kind of waking them back up to hearing. And James comes along and says, now be swift to hear. The book of Hebrews, we studied through the book of Hebrews in maybe 2 years, maybe more than that. I forget exactly. I guess it was more than that. Going through the book of Hebrews. And boy, Hebrews lays all the details out about who Messiah is, how he fulfills prophecy. He's their high priest speaking at the presence of God, speaking to them from heaven, equipping them for that tribulation period and so forth. And so it's not like James has come along now and says, now be swift to hear the book of Hebrews. Don't be dull of hearing anymore. You see the connection there? I hope you do. So then, when he says, slow to speak, and then he says, slow to wrath. What's that about? Well, sure enough, we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs. Let's pick up some details here. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, this time Proverbs in chapter number 10. Go back to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs and chapter number 10 here. By the way, the verses that we looked at last time about the hearing ear, we're looking at those verses in the setting and the context of the prophetic kingdom program, because truly the book of Proverbs is one of the wisdom books in the Old Testament to give Israel wisdom. But you know, there's a lot of wisdom for you and me today as well. Meaning you can see some principles about let's be more ready to hear the Word of God than just to give our own opinion about something, right? And we'll see a verse along those lines momentarily. But watch this. Look over to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. And all these phrases, all these verses that we read, we're going to read them in the light of that verse in James that says, be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And there's a reason. Look at Proverbs chapter number 10. Watch verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. By the way, that's true pretty much in any dispensation, wouldn't you say? But think in particular about James writing to his audience, telling them to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Don't just react without thinking through what's going on. That's what Israel's going to have to do in that tribulation period. They're going to have all kinds of situations and circumstances facing them every day through that tribulation period, and they're going to have to be swift to hear the Word of God, to go back and check out the verses of Scripture, the very instructions that God gives them to go through that tribulation period, and they're going to need to be slow to react, as in the sense of just blurt everything out without any wisdom. That verse again says, at verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. That, when it says, he that refraineth his lips, that's a person who stops and thinks, looks at the situation that he's experiencing and facing, takes God's Word and allows God's Word to shed and shine the light on what's happening, and then respond accordingly. Look at another passage here. Look over to chapter number 11. This time at verse 12. 11 verse 12, it says this. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Listen, when you find, let me just use kind of a parallel in our modern situation, okay? We all have seen worldwide, and then in our own country, all kinds of confusion and chaos and rioting and this and that and everything. And it's real easy when When you look at a situation and it gets you upset, your blood pressure goes up and your emotions go off and then you just blurt something out. Now, if we can relate to that concept, and listen, we still live in the dispensation of grace. The rapture hasn't happened yet. We're still here. From heaven to earth, it's still the ministry of reconciliation and the dispensation of grace. Imagine what it's going to be like on this earth when the restrainer, the church, the body of Christ, has been taken out of the way, and when things just are let loose, as it were. Imagine how important it's going to be for the believing remnant from Israel, the little flock, to be swift to hear God's word and slow to speak. When they do speak, to speak as a result of being instructed by God's word. Look at another verse with me. Look over to chapter 15 in Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 2. Look at that verse, 15, verse 2. In fact, look at verse 1. Start at verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It's that member of the little flock who, as he looks at the situation, he will be able, because he was swift to hear God's word, he'll be able to give a soft answer. But it's those who reject the word of God, those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the apostate nation in the tribulation period at that time, that, you know what? They're going to give out grievous words and they're just going to stir up anger. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You see? When that verse says the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. How did he know to do that? Or how did she know to do that? Well, it's because they were swift to hear the Word of God. They let the Word of God get into the heart. It produced that spiritual stability. It stabilized them. It produced calmness and peace in their heart. And so as a situation comes along and there's a threat and so forth, they give a soft answer. The tongue of the wise, it says, it useth knowledge aright. It knows, okay, this situation, we go to that verse of Scripture and apply it to this particular incident. It uses knowledge aright. But the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. See that? Instead of thinking, instead of using the Word of God to give a right answer, that verse says, the mouth of fools, instead of being slow to speak, they just gush out foolishness. Look with me to chapter 17. I'm sorry, look in the same verse, the same chapter. Watch this. Look at chapter 15. We'll get to 17 in a minute. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 28. It says this, the heart of the righteous. Now that's the member of the little flock. That's the believing remnant right there. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out, just gushes out vomit, as it were. Poureth out evil things. See, all of these comparisons are demonstrating the fact that there's going to be that believing remnant that were swift to hear God's word. They let God's word get into their heart and change them from the inside out, so that whatever predicament they find themselves in, they will respond according to God's wisdom, God's word. By contrast, those who are not part of the believing remnant and who reject the gospel of the kingdom, they reject the Christ as the Messiah, what wisdom is in them? So what's going to come out of them is the foolishness that's in their heart. Let's look at a couple of other passages. Isn't that a fascinating verse right there? Look over to chapter 17. Look over to chapter 17. Watch verse 27. Chapter 17:27 says this. 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. All these verses you can connect with James chapter number 1 verse 19. It's going to be the believing remnant who are going to be swift to hear, and the believing remnant who will be slow to speak and slow to wrath, therefore. By contrast, the apostate nation, they're not going to be swift to hear the Word of God. They're going to reject the Word of God. So instead of being slow to speak, they're just going to belch out what's in their heart, and what's in their heart is foolishness and confusion. Look with me over to, we'll get back to Proverbs here in a moment. Go to Matthew 15. Go to Matthew chapter number 15 here. And we're going to get back to Proverbs here in just a moment. Go back to Matthew 15. Go to Matthew 15. Ask yourself the question, what is in the heart? What's in the heart? Well, we know Scripture says things like this in the book of Jeremiah. It says things like that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And of course, only the Lord can know it. But then the Bible also says, in Romans 10, for example, it says, with the heart man believeth. Okay, so wait a minute now. How do you reconcile that? If the Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, then why would it also say about the heart that with the heart man believeth? That's interesting. Well, look at Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, He teaches us something about the heart here. Look over to Matthew chapter number 15, watch verse 17. I'm going to go to verse 18, Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed, what's this? Out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so forth. How do you know what's in someone's heart? Listen to what they say. That's how you know what's in their heart, right? But I got to tell you, with all the craziness again going on in the world right now, you see these clips that people post, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube or all these various social means of people conveying information. And it is interesting that sometimes people will get on there and they'll rant and rant and rant, and like every third, fourth, fifth word is a cuss word. Now you guys know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking, man, is that right? They actually learn to talk English. You know, So when they were in, you know, learning English in first grade, second grade, third grade, and so forth, the teacher was up there on the board writing down this word and that word and this word, and she said, "Now this is good proper English. Say that this word and that word, and go home and practice with your mom and your dad." Why is, when people get all upset, out of their mouth comes what's in their heart? And the only thing that can change that, how many times have we said it? The only thing that can change the human heart is the Word of God. That's all. The Holy Spirit of God using His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way to change what's in our heart is by putting something different in our heart. We got to get the Word of God, take the Word of God in our heart, so that what comes out of our mouth is not the wisdom of the world, not the wrath of man, but the wisdom which is from above, the wisdom of God's Word. You can let go of Matthew 15 there. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 18. Look at Proverbs 18. Look at Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13, and he says this. Proverbs 18:13 says this. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now there's some wisdom in that verse right there, wouldn't you say? He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. Again, I'm saying that when James in chapter 1 verse 19 is telling his audience, be swift to hear. Hear the matter out. Consider what's going on. Then use God's Word in your heart to help you properly evaluate what's going on and how you should respond to it. The believing remnant will do that. The apostate nation, instead of being slow to speak, they're going to be quick to respond. Can you think of a particular situation in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where some people were, instead of hearing the details of a matter, they answered a matter before they ever heard the details. And they came to a conclusion. Well, go with me to John chapter 7. We're going to come back to Proverbs. Go to John chapter number 7. Quickly, if you would. Go to John chapter number 7. Look over to John chapter number 7. Look at this here. Look at John 7 verse 50 and 51. John 7, verse 50 and 51. Watch this. Nicodemus saith unto them, he's talking to the Pharisees. In fact, when you go look at verse 45, you'll see the context. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. By the way, occasionally these guys actually say something that's true, okay? That's pretty cool right there. They say, man, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Well, and by the way, they should have. And just because they didn't, was that the basis and the reason upon which to decide whether or not to believe on him? Isn't that how stupid their question is? How absolute? Remember the book in Proverbs, we keep reading those verses that people that are swift to speak, that out of their mouth without hearing matter, that foolishness comes out of their mouth. That's exactly what they said right there is utter foolishness. When they said, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? What difference does that make? Since when is that the basis upon which someone should decide whether or not to believe that Christ was their Messiah? And by the way, that statement just tells you the utter stupidity and foolishness of the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. Out of their mouth comes foolishness, Proverbs says. But this people which knoweth not the law are cursed. Yeah, like you aren't accursed. Watch, now watch verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth what he doeth? He's thinking of Proverbs 18, verse 13. You can go back to Proverbs now. Go back to Proverbs here. Look at chapter 18. Watch verse 21. Chapter 18, verse 21. It says this. I'm going to erase this here. Look at that verse right there. Proverbs 18:21 says this: Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wait a minute. He mentioned two things in verse 21. He mentioned death and life. And then he says, they that love it. Why would he mention two things and then say it? Well, it's pretty obvious. Look at that verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it. If you love life, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. You love death, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. When James is telling his audience to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, he's appealing to those in Israel who will become part of the believing remnant, who will love life and who will taste the fruit of life. They'll get into the kingdom. But those, the opposite, those who reject the Word of God, They judge a matter before hearing it. They reject Christ as the Messiah, like we just saw in John there with the scribes and Pharisees, the priests. They love death, and they're going to taste the fruit of death. Two more quick passages, and then we're going to go and look at a big example of this. And I'm racing the clock here at this point, which is always the case. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you're reading through the zone right now with us, you should be finishing Ecclesiastes today. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, watch this now. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 and 2. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. You know, that's just some practical wisdom there. Quickly, go back to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Verse 17, Proverbs 14, 17. Proverbs 14, 17 says this, he that is soon angry, so that's the guy swift to wrath, instead of being slow to wrath, slow. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Look over to verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29. 14, 29. He that is slow to wrath, well, that's James 1:19. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. See that? There's James 1 right there in all these verses. Now, let's do this. In the time we have remaining, which is not a lot of time, we're going to look at an example of this very concept, this very truth, where God says something to the nation, they should be swift to hear and slow to speak, but instead they're going to be just the opposite. They're going to be swift to speak. They're not going to hear. They're going to reject what God says. And yet, in the midst of all that, there's a little remnant that are swift to hear and slow to speak. And it's in the book of Malachi. It's in the book of Malachi. We're going to have to do this kind of quickly because I'm almost out of time. Look at this. I'm noticing some of the comments on here. Silas says, God created us with two ears and only one mouth. Paul says it must be, Jeff said it must be more important to, in God's eyes for us to hear than to speak. Amen. Yeah, you can't eat from the fruit of life and the fruit of death at the same time. You know what? So watch this. The book of Malachi is a classic example of what James chapter 1 verse 19 is conveying. In the book of Malachi, God raises up Malachi for the purpose of really seeking to call Israel to repentance, and in particular their leadership, the priests and so forth. But every time God through Malachi says something to them, the leaders of Israel reject it. They're, instead of being swift to hear, they're swift to respond negatively, as it were. Look at Malachi. We're going to do this real quick, okay? Malachi chapter number 1. Watch this now. Let me just give you some examples real quick. James, Malachi 1:1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say. See that phrase, yet ye say? That's gainsaying. That's, God says this, but they immediately, without hearing what he has to say, they are judging a matter before they hear what the matter is. They're just responding back negatively. They're, instead of being slow to speak and slow to wrath, they're quick to speak and they come out in wrath rejecting God. And that's all the way through the book of Malachi here. You can see at verse 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? There it is again. God says something. Instead of them being willing to hear, swift to hear, and discern the matter, they're swift to speak and reply negatively, as it were. Look at verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? They're just arguing with God at every point. Look over to chapter 2, if you would. Just some more examples. Look over to chapter number 2. You see it again at verse 14. It says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and so forth. The point is, whenever you see that phrase, yet ye say, it's gainsaying. They're rejecting God's word. They're not hearing God's word. They're rejecting it. And it's all the way through the book of Malachi. Look at verse 17, 2:17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? And of course, he tells them. Look over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto... See how he's just pleading with them to return to him. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Instead of being swift to hear and slow to respond, instead of considering the matter before they respond, they're just blurting out, rejecting what God says. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And so on. Now, all the way through Malachi, you see the priests, the leaders of Israel, responding, rejecting God's word, gainsaying. Yet ye say. But in the book of Malachi, it turns out that there were some who were listening to Malachi. They were swift to hear, slow to speak, in that they were not speaking negatively back to God. Watch this now. In chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord. See, every time you saw those phrases, yet ye say, those were coming out of the mouth of people who didn't fear the Lord. They didn't believe God's word. They didn't trust God's word. So what was coming out of their mouth is what was in their heart. It was their own foolishness of rejecting God's claims against them. And yet, there was a remnant who was listening to Malachi, believing Malachi. And that's what you see at verse 16, the faithful remnant, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. See, they edified one another, the remnant. And the Lord hearkened and heard. By the way, there's the ear again. Hearkened, heard. It says, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. There it is again. Hearkened, heard, feared. Watch what the Lord says about them. The remnant, that little flock. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. That day is going to be that tribulation period. The time of Jacob's trouble. He puts them through the fire, burns up the dross, and is left with the pure silver and gold, as it were. He says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Everyone else in Malachi that heard what Malachi said and responded negatively, yet ye say, you know what? They're not going to make it through the tribulation period. But the remnant will. God says, they shall be mine. I will spare them. Verse 18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous, there's the believing remnant, and the wicked, there's the apostate nation. Between him that serveth God, there's the believing remnant, and him that serveth him not. Let's just close this way, go back to the book of James. I hope you're seeing all these connections. It really is quite amazing. And we just barely scratched the surface with all these connections back there in the Old Testament. James is saying to his audience, he's writing to the nation, the whole nation scattered abroad, the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. He's appealing to the whole nation to come and listen to God's word, to be swift to hear God's word, become a part of the little flock, the believing remnant, hear what God says. Because those that will hear what God says, they are the ones that God is going to preserve through that tribulation period, and they are going to be His when He returns. So He tells them at verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He's telling them to receive God's word. God's word will save their souls. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that as we look at your word this morning, we can see in so many different ways you keep saying again and again and again to hear your word. And even though most of what we studied this morning applies specifically to the tribulation period and the saints at that time, the remnant at that time, God, we know that as well for us, we need to hear your word every day. Hear what you say. Go back to your word, trusting your word, finding comfort, encouragement, strength in your word. We thank you for this precious truth. In Christ's name, amen.